So on your way in, hopefully you received an outline. Now would be a good time to take that out along with your Bible to follow along tonight. For a number of months here at Westbridge, really since the Easter service, we've been studying the life and ministry of Jesus. A good portion of that time, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is actually the longest continuous section of Jesus speaking in the New Testament. And it's here where he really delivers his keynote address, speaking to quite a number of different areas in life. These three chapters, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, contain perhaps the most well-known words of Jesus, words that spell out the qualities that you and I should have as we conduct ourselves as godly men and godly women. And the overall theme of his keynote address is really righteousness, doing always the right thing. You know, he spoke about our worship. Jesus spoke about our wealth. He spoke about our attitudes and our mindsets. He speaks about our actions, and he speaks about our walk. And as we enter this closing segment of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to talk about a few tests. Tests of self-denial. Tests of fruit-bearing. Tests of obedience. Most people like dislike tests, especially IQ tests. Right, Westbridge? Yeah, we don't like those. However, the tests Jesus gives us, they always have a purpose. They prove that our righteousness is from him. Because counterfeit people and counterfeit Christianity, well, they're going to fail those tests. The Sermon on the Mount is also full of choices, as we'll see in tonight's passage. There are two gates that lead to two destinations. There are two roads with two types of travelers, and a choice each person will have to make. You know, about 700 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 8, he prophesied about this very thing that Jesus is teaching us about tonight in our text. He said this, Isaiah did, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it." Now, if you have your Bible, open up to our text tonight in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. Let me read that for you. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." It's not a lot of words in those verses, but Jesus packs this thing full of protein that you and I can look in just a few short sentences. There's a lot we can learn just by taking stock in what he's written for us. You know, I like the way the King James Version says out this, talks about this narrow gate in verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." The first thing we discover in this passage is there's two gates, a straight gate and a wide gate. You know, the wide gate, the Bible tells us, well, it's broad. It leads to destruction. And it's a gate that many go in. While the straight gate is narrow, it leads to life, and few find it. In my studies this week, I came across a question that was posed by someone online, which I think is important to answer right at the onset. Is the gate Jesus is talking about in our text at the beginning or the end of what the scripture talks about as the way? The gate is most certainly at the beginning. Because if you look at the verse, and we'll look at some others, you can see that it's mentioned before the way. The wide gate represents the beginning to the way that leads to destruction, the Bible says. And the straight gate represents the beginning or the starting point, the way that leads to life, Jesus explains. This brings us to our first point to capture from tonight's text, and that is, narrow is the straight gate to heaven. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Christ here compares the way to life to an entrance through a gate. The words straight, S-T-R, AIGHT and straight STRAIT are in fact very different. The former means not crooked. The latter means pent up. The latter is this word here that Jesus uses, and it means the way to heaven is narrowly entered. Contrary to that, the gate to destruction, hell, is open. It's broad, and it's crowded. Christ uses the concept of gates illustratively, as this would really relate to the people that he was teaching to at the time he spoke. Ancient cities were surrounded by big walls, and these cities were entered through gates. And some of those were connected with great avenues, avenues throughout the city, and they were broad and they admitted the majority of the people. Others, for more private purposes, entered through a narrow gate, and few were seen entering them. The straight gate, the narrow gate, is also called the narrow door by Jesus, as captured by the Apostle Luke in Luke chapter 13, 23 and 24. It says this, it says, someone asked him, Lord, are there only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Jesus compares the narrow gate and the wide gate that leads to destruction, and he highlights that many will be on this road to hell, this road to destruction. It's the greatest highway that people are going to go. They fall easily without effort, and they go without thought. By contrast, Jesus says, small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. Jesus is the gate that leads to eternal life in heaven. Now, who here has seen the TV game show Match Game? Match Game is an American television panel show that premiered in 1962, and it's been revived a few times since then. The game features contestants who are, you know, trying to come up with answers to fill in the blank questions and match the panelists who are celebrities. And I've seen it a few times. They've revived it since then. But you know what? I like good old Gene Rayburn on the bottom left. He was the original host, and one of the popular question themes that they had featured a character named either Dumb Dora or Dumb Donald. These questions began, Dumb Donald is so dumb, and the audience would respond, how dumb is he, right? Oh, you guys have got this. I don't even have to explain what's going to happen next, but I will anyway. So they would go like, Dumb Donald is so dumb, and the audience would say, how dumb was he? When his wife said her water broke, he drove her to the blank. You know, and then they would answer and try to match the celebrities. So, I'm Gene Rayburn, and you guys are the audience, and you've already been practicing. So I'm going to ask a question, and then you guys are going to respond as if you were in the audience on the game show, and you're ready. So here's the question. The gate to heaven is so narrow and so straight. How narrow and straight is it? You did pretty good. You did pretty good. You're still hurting from the IQ test, I can tell. Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. The gate Jesus is talking about, the way to heaven, is so narrow and is so straight to the extent that only one way to enter is possible. Admission to heaven is specific. There's only one answer. It's utterly strict to only one method. It's totally inflexible. There is zero wiggle room. There's just one way to enter heaven. You know, when we read the word narrow, we tend to associate it with narrowing or filtering, as if God rated us on a list of qualities and that allow only a few to enter into eternal life with him. You know what? This could not be further than the truth. Just a few verses earlier, we studied a few weeks ago, in Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus makes it clear the door to eternal life is open to everyone who asks. The gate to heaven, yeah, it is narrow, but not in the sense of who has been ranked to be able to enter. It's narrow and straight because of its requirement for entrance. That's faith. Salvation is found only when we believe in the person of Jesus Christ. John 10:9 says, Jesus tells us, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out, and they will find pasture. John 14:6, Jesus answered. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in Romans 6:23, we see that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God offers salvation to everyone who accepts, but it's on his narrow terms. Seekers must come via the gate God has provided. We can't create our own doors. We can't make our own paths. We can't jump the fence. We can't enter by our own efforts. Compared to his righteousness, the Bible tells us that you and I are filthy. So God can't simply overlook our sin. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to earth to die on the cross and rise again so that his blood would cover the cost of our sin. And it's by our faith in Jesus and what he did that day that we receive God's gift of eternal life. It's that simple. The key truth here is your decision about Christ affects your destination. Your decision about Christ affects your destination. Yes, narrow is the straight gate, the gate that leads to life. That gate specifically leads to eternal life. Only a few will find it. However, it's not hidden. The Bible just proved that for us. It clearly explains where anyone can find it. It clearly explains how everyone can enter in. Psalm 51:5 says this. It says, indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. For those who have not accepted Jesus Christ through faith, their destination of travel is clear. When you and I were born, we were born sinners, separated from God. The fact is that every person, by the very nature of their sin, is born destined for the city of destruction. It's only by choosing the narrow gate that our final destination changes to heaven. If you're here tonight and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I ask you to consider Jesus' teaching seriously. Following the service, come talk to me. Come talk to Miss Kelly, who was on the keyboard, Pastor Drew, who was on the guitar. We'd love to talk to you more about this. Don't let tonight go by without getting right with God. He's here. He's waiting for you to invite him into your heart and into your life. You know, we've seen already in this passage about the two gates, Jesus also talks about two ways. He talks about the broad way, and he talks about the narrow way. While they might appear to be one and the same as the two gates, there is a difference. As Jesus was not only teaching about the manner by which someone reaches the gate, he was also talking about the manner in which our lives are conducted after the gate. The broad and narrow way are the two different roads on which we can journey. The Bible tells us that the majority travel the broad way, the road of the world. This brings us to our second point for tonight, and that is the gate to hell, and as well, the road to destruction in life are easy to follow. Just as with the wide gate to hell, the broad way of destructive living on earth is easy. And it's easy going to follow. This is the way of the world where, you know what, everything goes. There's no need for restoration or changing one's lifestyle. Because you know what, everything is accepted. There's no rule for morality except for the ones that you want to live by. There's majority acceptance for every kind of conceivable sin. We can do what we want, whatever feels good. This road has plenty of room as well for diverse theology, wide-ranging religious beliefs, from atheism to Scientology to Buddhism. According to some estimates, there's around 4,200 religions in the world. And while it seems intelligent that only one belief system can actually be the truth, this statement itself is unacceptable in a world of ultimate acceptance. All this certainly describes the society I see around me, a society where marriage is considered by many as not necessary and living together is commonplace, where actions such as selfishness and dishonesty and filing our taxes or gossip or abortion, discrimination, homosexuality, pride, and other forms of immorality are tolerated, they're accepted, and they're even celebrated. By the way, you're already on this broad road if you haven't entered through the straight gate. If you haven't accepted Jesus, then you're walking the way of the world. That's the default position. While in some respects, the way of this world, you know, being able to do what we want, do what feels good, you know, it sounds attractive, the Bible gives a strong warning in verse 13 that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Destruction conveys this idea of loss. And the broad way may lead to destruction in two aspects. You know, the first we already talked about earlier. Those who abide by that wide gate, well, they're going to spend eternity in hell. There's also a second road, or there's secondly, the way in which they're going to meet destruction, or you and I can meet destructive, is through destructive living. It's through living a life walking this way of the world. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." The devil, the thief, will destroy us if he can. Some traveling the way of the world end up alcoholics or hooked on drugs or ensnared by pornography. We live in a time where a large percentage of marriage still ends in divorce. There are women who struggle with eating disorders. Young people intentionally hurting themselves, even to the extent of taking their own lives. In 2016, suicide became the second leading cause of death among teenagers in the United States. Still, there's others skirting through life who aren't really dealing with such major difficulties. Just different heartaches, heartaches of loneliness, heartaches of anger and bitterness or jealousy as they walk the way of the world. As Christians, you and I are most vulnerable to attack when we journey our life on the wide road, the way of the world. Satan has already lost the battle for our souls, so he turns his focus toward destruction of our lives here on earth. He turns his focus to whatever he can kill, whatever he can steal, whatever he can destroy in our lives. And he uses that to help deter others from going through the narrow gate. He uses it so that he scares others away, and he puts us on the sideline so we're no longer in the battle for souls. I'm guessing most of you have heard of Harry Potter. You've read the books and you've seen the movies, and for some of you, I know you've done both, right? In the first installment, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, there's a scene where Harry comes across a slain unicorn, and he has an exchange with a creature in the forest. And it goes like this out of the book. It says, "Harry, do you know what unicorn blood is used for?" "No," said Harry, startled by the question. "We've only used the horn and tail in potions." "That's because it's a monstrous thing to slay a unicorn," said Firenze. "Only one who has nothing to lose and everything to gain would commit such a crime. The blood of a unicorn will keep you alive, even if you're an inch from death, but at a terrible price. You have slain something so pure and defenseless to save yourself, you will have but a half-life, a cursed life. From the moment the blood touches your lips." Harry stared at the frenzy's head, and he looked up in the silver in the moonlight, and he said, "But who'd be that desperate?" he thought to himself. The movie character, Lord Voldemort here, was the one who killed the unicorn. And he's a fitting depiction of Satan, the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Satan is the ruler of this world for the amount of time that God allows. And until Jesus returns, the devil is all about the business of bringing destruction in our lives. Life's journey is a venture and a struggle in enemy territory. So just what does the devil seek to steal? Well, he looks to steal our joy. He looks to steal our peace. He wants to steal our happiness, our patience. He wants to kill our hopes and our dreams. He wants to kill our aspirations. He wants to snuff out your kindness. And he wants to destroy your relationships, your self-worth, your self-confidence, your integrity, and your marriages. Gratefully, there's a better way. The narrow road Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7:14, the road in which he's prepared for his followers to journey. And it's a way that leads to life on earth, the life prepared for us in that same verse, John 10:10, in that same scripture. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The psalmist David called out to God in Psalm 5:8 to show him this narrow road. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. This brings us to point three. Straight is the narrow road toward heaven-like life on earth. Jesus tells us that you and I can begin to enjoy eternal life while we walk the narrow way. And when we die or Jesus comes again, we will enjoy eternal life in all of its fullness in heaven. No doubt everyone's familiar with the saying, the quickest path between two points is a straight line. Well, God wants to get you and I where we want to go in life. He wants us to have the best life he has to offer us this side of eternity. Whether it means having a godly marriage or raising godly kids, growing spiritually in hope with a sense of peace among the storms around us. God wants us to live with joy, knowing that we have a Father who provides what we need and protects us from the things we can't handle alone. You know, for a number of years, some of the men here at Westbridge have gone on an annual 4-day motorcycle trip. And one of our favorite destinations, you can see it up there, is a place called Skyline Drive. Skyline Drive is a 105-mile road that runs the entire length of Shenandoah National Park in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And the road travels along right around the mountain ridge on many portions of it. And I think the highest posted speed on the road is around 35 miles an hour. We enter near Martinsburg, West Virginia, and we exit in Front Royal, Virginia. And it takes us about several hours, probably close to, 3 to 8, depending on how much we stop. But it takes a long time. And while this route is incredibly scenic, and we want to travel it, it's actually not the quickest way to go. Even if we didn't stop to take pictures, if we didn't stop to grab a cheeseburger and some blueberry cobbler and ice cream in the middle, if we didn't stop every 60 miles to put gas in Bug's gas tank, right? The drive would still be a 3-hour trip. Skyline Drive is a very crooked road. It's filled with turns and twists, and it's one that's really difficult to travel. The last several times we've gone, the road's also been under construction, and that's been a mess. And if you don't pay attention to where you're going, then you can find yourself in a ditch. You can find yourself in a crash, or worse, you can launch yourself over a cliff. The quickest way, to get from Martinsburg to Front Royal, you can see it on the left, is by Route 81. It's only 47.7 miles, a 50-minute drive for those of you that do the speed limit. Much, much safer. There's no cliffs. There's no tight curves. There's no turns. Jesus warns us the way of the world is the crooked path, and it's one filled with the greatest difficulty. The straight road, that has its challenges too. The guys in the men's group will notice up on the top right way up there at the top, that's Apollyon. This is about the book that we've been studying, Pilgrim's Progress. You know, it's difficult because Satan is there waiting to attack Christians on their walk toward the celestial city, heaven. Jesus says the narrow gate leads to a hard road, one that will take us through hardships and through difficulty, decisions as we live by faith and endure trials with Christ-like patience, living a lifestyle that separates us from the world. A couple of months ago in men's group, one of the guys, I think it was you, Mark, Mr. Mark O'Leary, that said something like this, you know, really right in line. He said, you know, the sign above every entrance to the church should say, it's going to be difficult. Jesus never sugarcoated the truth. And the truth is that not many people are willing to pay that short-term cost to follow him in order to achieve eternal roads. I remember growing up after my dad became saved that there were a number of places that my dad would not go. And there were a number of things my father would not do. Just to name a few of them, my father didn't ever go to the movies. He did not eat in any restaurant that was a bar. He only listened to Christian music, and he avoided any place where smoking was permitted. As a teenager, I remember how ridiculous and silly my dad was for being such a party pooper. It's quite clear to me why now. Once God got a hold of me, he made those choices. He made those choices because of Jesus' instruction in the way in which he needed to travel the narrow road. The boundaries my dad set for himself, and in turn our family, put us in a place to help us stay on the narrow road, to keep us away from tempting lifestyles that were brought about when we travel that wide road. That road that leads to destructive lives. When we find an area of life we're traveling on the wide road, well, gratefully, when we end up in that ditch, God is there to help us out if we're ready to turn ourselves back around. Best route, though, is to travel on the road that God offers. Traveling the straight road, the narrow road, brings us from who we are to who he created us to be in the fastest time. This is an important message that I and you need to comprehend. If you're battling with bitterness or anger or jealousy, well, check your path. Are you truly walking on the narrow road? Are you having marriage difficulties? You'll have the highest success bringing restoration and renovation when you travel the narrow road. Are you wondering how you can be the best mother or the best father to your kids? Well, Jesus says the way to all of this and more, heaven-like life on earth, is by traveling the path he intended, a journey toward righteousness, always doing what's right. People who journey the narrow road, they walk with integrity. They live lives that are genuine. They act the same no matter who is present or if no one is present. Their word is their bond. When they say yes, they mean yes. And when they say no, they mean no. Women and men of integrity focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything at all that is excellent and praiseworthy, Philippians 4:8 tells us. It's time to capture another key truth that Jesus wants you and I to understand. Your decision to travel the broad or narrow road influences the journey, not your destination. As traveling the narrow and straight way is the fastest and safest to journey toward heaven-like life on earth, life to the full here, then you and I want to make sure we're on that right road. We want to be journeying together with God where it's safest, where he's protecting us. We don't want to be caught on the wide road where we're most vulnerable to attack. So how do you and I make sure we stay on the right road? Well, the answer is found in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And this week, I want you to go and take a look at that. write these verses down. I encourage you, make them the focus of your study and your conversation with God. It says this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27 give us further encouragement. They tell us to watch the path of our feet and then all our ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. Spend some time this week talking to God about which road you're on, what journey you have made. And if you've not chosen Jesus Christ, then it's time for you tonight to think about entering that narrow gate. Consider Christ's teaching tonight and consider the road you're on. The road you're traveling is a good indication of the gate you've gone through. Although it's possible for a person to be heaven bound, it's also possible that we're living destructive lives. So talk to God this week. You know, as I invite the band and the worship team back up, it's very interesting. I want to read for you a short devotional that God inspired Max Lucado to write for this very day. Drew talked about when he prayed after worship that God knew what we were going to talk about on November 4th. Well, you can check it out when you come up, because here's November 4th, and he's cheering us on our journey in the narrow road. It says, run the race. That's the title for today, and it's around Hebrews 12, 1. Let us run the race that is before us and never give up. The word race is from the Greek agon, from which we get the word agony. The Christian's race is not a jog, but rather a demanding and grueling, sometimes agonizing race, but it takes a massive effort to finish strong. Likely you've noticed that many don't. Surely you've observed there are many on the side of the trail. They used to be running. There was a time when they kept the pace, but then weariness set in. They didn't think the run would be this tough. By contrast, Jesus' best work was his final work. His strongest step was his last step. Our master is the classic example of one who endured. He could have quit the race, but he didn't. Would you stand and let's sing to God? Father in heaven, and that's what we ask tonight. We ask that you will give us all the power and the strength that we need to follow you. Father, we want to walk the narrow way. We want to be on the road that is walking next to you, where we're greatest and we're protected by the one who created us, the one who designed life to the full, the one who wants us to have everything that you've dreamed for us to have. And Father, if there's anyone here who's waiting at the door, Father, may they have the courage to accept you into their life. May they have the courage to just cry out, God, I need you. I want you in my life. Please come. Please change me. What you did on the cross, I know it's for me. And Father, continue to help me understand what it means to walk the narrow road. But Father, I accept you in my heart because I know what you've done, and you've done it for me. I want to be with you in heaven eternal. And Father, this week we ask you to be with us. Keep us safe. Give us a chance to encourage those around us. Help us to show others that living a life that you have given us is glorious. Father, we thank you for the honor and privilege it is to call you friend. In your name we ask, amen. Have a great week. See you next week, 7 o'clock.